Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Mark James.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s. Phony Michelle. I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career. Chris Frail. I've known Michael Irvin for 16, 17 years. University of Miami fam. We're good like that.
Kyrie Irving.
I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Next star here at WEEI. That, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
Mark effing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward.
I'm going to call him Brad Farrell,
because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
Be honest,
and I think one thing.
Exactly.
So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick.
Byrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
The craziest friggin' guy I have ever worked with.
All right, at the end there, you heard the great Jerry Callahan. News came across right after 12 o'clock. Jerry Callahan on Friday, he released a statement on Twitter, and he talked about saying, quote, that was fun. After 20 years in morning drive, I did my last show on WEEI this morning. Thanks to all who listen. Unfortunately, this ain't a movie. Sometimes the bad guys win. Much more to come. And I tweeted out right after just saying how much of an honor and privilege it was to get to know him, listen to him, work with him, texted with him yesterday as well. And I mean, obviously, you can't overstate the impact that he had not only here at WEEI, but on this market. Jerry Callahan is, I mean, first ballot radio Hall of Famer in every way, shape, and form. He helped shape sports talk radio in this market, as did Glenn Ordway and Eddie Andelman back in the day. And Glenn Ordway still here with us on OMF every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, along with Merlone and Fourier. But Jerry Callahan, I was just honored, literally, to get to work with this guy. So the fact that he didn't mind me being around for 4 hours on his show was just such a tremendous honor. And he and, you know, John Dennis, Dennis and Callahan, they did a great job. I mean, they really set the bar here, the gold standard. And then Kirk and Callahan, you know, went to another level. And, you know, and then obviously he spent the last, you know, 9 months or whatever. It's been, close to a year with Mutt and when Kirk left. So he will be missed. He's not pushing up daisies. He's still around. He's in better shape than most of us around here. And we will, I'm sure, hear him on the air somewhere in the very near future. But I definitely consider Jerry a friend. And I look forward to continuing our friendship, even though I haven't known him that long. I'm not going to cry on the air. It wasn't that long. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 6 to 10, where Mutt, Chris Curtis, and Ken Laird will talk about their, you know, what Jerry meant to them. They'll get the chance to do tomorrow because Chris Curtis and Mutt have been on vacation. And they went on vacation and separately, I might add, and all of a sudden their morning show is gone now. And the Greg Hill morning show, and congratulations to Greg Hill and his staff coming over, Daniel Murr and Lyndon Byers. They're going to starting 2 weeks from tomorrow right here on WEEI. They're coming over from WAAF. So, you know, I know of Greg Hill. I've known him for, I've known of his show for years. You listen to it. He's been around for a really long time. So I wish them nothing but the utmost luck here on this station and success. So hopefully we can turn the corner here in mornings here starting on July 29th. And And I will say, without any shame, I'm available. So if you need me to come in and do what I do, which is galvanize or mostly polarize the masses, I will do that. Love to add I'm not begging like Wiggy and Reamer here, but just let you know, Joe Zarbano knows where to find me. My cell number hasn't changed. As Biggie Smalls rapped in one of the greatest rap songs of all time, Juicy, call the crib, same number, same hood, it's all good. I haven't changed my number since 2002, and I'm not changing it anytime soon, so I can tell you that. So that's that. I wish Jerry nothing but the utmost success. And I don't mean it because they always say, like, we wish him nothing but the utmost success in his future endeavors, the old corporate line. No, I really do, personally and professionally. I will say this, though, and I think it was beyond the powers that be here in Boston. It probably came from, because we all have masters to serve. I think after 23 years at a station, winning numerous Marconi Awards and putting sports talk radio on the map here in Boston, I thought Jerry Callahan should have gotten the chance to say goodbye to his audience. Okay? That's my thoughts, and I can tell you I'm not alone in that. And Lou Merlone has been outspoken in what he thinks on his Twitter handle. And I retweeted that on my Twitter handle, Mark James, M-A-R-C James. When you put nearly a quarter of a century in at a station, to not allow him to say goodbye to his audience, quite frankly, it's BS. And that sucks. But it goes back to something that a guy that I started with when I started in talk radio 16 years ago in 2004. After meeting, I'm gonna name drop here, with the all-time hits leader in baseball, Pete Rose, at the Pete Rose Ballpark Cafe in Boynton Beach, Florida. And, I started in May of 2004, and my first co-host of a midday show called Diamond Talk, that's what it was called, a guy by the name of Tom Alexander, he said to me, you know what about radio? I love the profession, but I hate the business. And Jerry not being allowed to say goodbye to his audience is the ugly part of the business. You usually don't get a chance to say goodbye. And I will tell you, from someone who's the biggest Howard Stern fan in the world, I was in grad school at the University of Miami in 2005, and I flew home the night before Howard Stern's last show on regular terrestrial radio. And I woke up before 6 in the morning, and with the old cassette tapes, because it's the only way you could record a show, I got a bunch of blank cassette tapes, and I taped every hour of his show, the final show. I have it. I have it with me. I still have those tapes. They're very valuable to me. It is sentimental value. But it was Howard's last show before he took his talents to satellite radio. And it was an iconic moment for radio. And I put Jerry up there. When I think of the titans in this industry, I put Jerry up there with Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, you name it. So he meant that much to Boston and this market. And he will be sorely missed, not only by me, by the listening audience. And listen, Jerry was a polarizing guy. He was. And a lot of you people out there, and I've seen it on the text line or people on Twitter, you're you have let your feelings be known that you're not sad and you won't lose any sleep or shed any tears. That's fine. But I will tell you, a lot of people will. A lot of people will. And for what it's worth, those are my two cents. I said my piece on Jerry on Friday. I did it yesterday on Mark and Hart with Andy Hart, and I'm doing it right now. And I'm looking for tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m., for I guess it would be Mutt and Ken and Chris, especially Ken and Chris, because Ken and Chris, obviously, Chris went on vacation, Mutt went on vacation, they come back and now they find out that their show is gone, and I'm sure Greg Hill is going to bring over the producers that he wants over to WEI when their new show starts on Monday, July 29th. But I wish him nothing but the utmost success. But Jerry is his impact can never be overstated, whether you loved him or not. And the one thing about Jerry Callahan is that he never elicited apathy. You either were pro Jerry or no Jerry, but you had a feeling on him. And as a talk show host, that's what you're supposed to do. when I used to get emails, complaints to my former program directors in my previous markets, Atlanta, Charlotte, Tampa, I would tell them all the same thing, even my down in Miami. The minute you start getting complaints is when we're really in trouble. So Jerry did his job to the best of his ability, and he was one of the icons and titans of this business. 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the phones and go to James in Norwich, who's up next. Hey, James, thanks for holding.
Yeah, my pleasure. How are you doing?
Good, James. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I have the same sentiments you have about Jerry.
Yeah.
That's not the reason why I called.
You'll change your mind and give it a chance. Just give it a chance. You know,
I'll give it a chance.
Just give it a chance, man. Give these guys a chance, and you know, you never know. I always tell people I'm the Sam Adams beer of sports talk radio, or, you know, you might not like it the first time you taste it, or the second or the third, but eventually you will, or more like a fungus, eventually I'll grow on you, I hope. But just give them a chance.
Oh, you grew on me quite a bit.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, James. What's your thoughts on Mookie Betts?
Yes, Mookie Betts, problem I have is I've been telling the station, to you, to everybody, to Glenn, everybody, that we should have, I wanted him traded before this season so we can get the, so we can get the maximum return on him. We're not going to get what we could have got before the season for him, because the reason why I wanted him traded is because he already said he really wasn't coming back. In so many words, you know what I'm saying? He wanted to.
I believe Mookie's gonna take his bat and ball like Kyrie Irving. Now he's not gonna tell everybody he's gonna stay here and then bolt like Kyrie, right. But Mookie is going to definitely he's getting the hell out of here. He's not staying in Boston, which is why I feel that. Don't let this become a Kyrie Irving situation where you get nothing for him and you get bounced right in the second round by Milwaukee.
Right. And that's why I said this before the season. Everybody said, oh, no, you can't do that. He's the MVP. You can't do that. But he already said he's not coming back in so many words. But there was one other thing I wanted to mention, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Did you see, and again, just you can tell me if you change your mind or have the same opinion. Did you see the unedited version of the camera, the dash camera?
Yes. Landon Roberts.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to get to that. I'm getting to that. I did see it's like 16 minutes long, but I did. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on that, if that's okay for me to say, there were so many things that were edited on the, it didn't paint the whole picture.
No, it didn't.
And it made it more of a racial controversy than what it probably should have been.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to those cuts coming up. I'm going to play those cuts, James. I appreciate it, man. Yes, a Landon Roberts situation, there were some things that it seemed a little cut and dry, but, I mean, think about this. And we'll get into that. I want to grab Joe in Maine real quick before we get to Landon Roberts. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, Joe. What's going on in Maine? What part of Maine you in?
Well, I'm going up to the Portland area. I'm on the road. I just pulled over in a rest stop, and now I'm on my way up there.
But, okay, good. Have a safe trip up to Portland.
We'll try. Anyway, I just wanted to touch base on, some of the things, you know, people, different ideas, how to shorten the game, everything. And one of the things, you know, even if you, I don't think that's the main problem that MLB is facing, because, you know, you could bring the game down to 2 hours. And I think, you know, especially the younger people, they're still not going to watch it because it's just, you know, it's not entertaining. And I think, you know, you and some of the other callers touched on it that, you know, MLB has to do a better job of creating some personalities in the players.
Let's hypothetically role play here. You're Commissioner Manfred. Make it more entertaining. Yep. What do you do? You go first and I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay. Well, I mean, what to do, I don't know. But I think just that in general, the first step is that Major League Baseball has to let their hair down. I think they're just too uptight. It's too rigid. Somebody had mentioned, you know, the unwritten rules.
And, yes.
You know, the thing that comes to mind, whether it happened or not, but, you know, you hear people talk about it, you see it in the movies, you know, back in the day, Babe Ruth. He came to bat. He pointed. He hit the home run. You know, if somebody was to do that today, you know, the next at bat, he's probably getting, you know, he's probably getting nailed with a fastball, you know, and taking his
base. And that's fine, too. But, that's okay. That's yeah. part of the game. That's fine, too. I don't yeah. care. I just, to me, the no bat flip, it just means no fun. It's like the
well,
no.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean.
Yeah. Like Roger, well, like remember for a while the NFL, they used to call it, NFL used to stand for the no fun league. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, and the NFL, you know, at one point they clamped down on the end zone, celebration.
No, but now they allow them to.
And well, now they softened up because people are saying this
that's
isn't
right.
fun anymore. They want to watch, you know, that's what the people want to see.
That's what the people want. Exactly.
I was waiting on the line. I mentioned, I said, look, you can go out on the weekend. You can find a pickup softball game with a bunch of guys. You don't know any of them. But they're out there trash talking. The guy's getting a hit. He's dancing on the bases. They're joking with each other. They're razzing each other. And you don't know any of them, but you find some characters and you connect to them. It's more enjoyable.
Yeah, well, you got to do this
pickup game
with America's favorite pastime, Joe. And that's the problem that baseball has. You know another thing, too? We live in the ultimate friend zone time for professional athletes. We're back in the day, Bird McHale and Parrish hated Isaiah, Lambeer, and Mahorn. And Bird McHale and Parrish and DJ hated Magic, Michael Cooper, Worthy, and Kareem. Everybody's friends now. You know? Everybody's friends. LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul are on the back of a banana boat together. Everybody's BFFs. I don't like it. I liked it when back in the day when people really hated each other. Like you knew the true hate between someone. You knew it. Like it was a shoot. And to quote Vince McMahon again, Vince McMahon would always say, we don't dictate to the WWE universe what they want. We let them dictate to us. And I think they've changed that because they don't. They don't listen to the fans the way they used to. Baseball needs to listen to the MLB universe or people who are willing to give it a shot. But here's my lessons more. I'm going to pay it off right now. Non-negotiable like U.S. currency. Non-negotiable. Less is more. 120-game regular season. That's it from now on. No 162. And I know. The MLBPA will never go for it. MLB will never go for it. But if less is more. NBA, Adam Silver, he's already considering lowering the amount of games to 66 games. He's doing it. He's saying 82 is way too much. Less is more. If you have less games for Major League Baseball, it'll be more interesting. Cut it down by 42 games to 120 games. I don't care what it means on all-time stats on the back of baseball cards. I don't care. You want to make your sport better, and maybe you do a mid-season tournament. Maybe you do something. The team who has the best record in the first half of the season automatically gets in the playoffs, no matter how bad of a second half of the season they have. You've got to do things to sustain to make it more interesting. And I'm telling you, start with the amount of games. Cut it to 120. Cut it 42 games. It won't happen, but it should happen. 617-779-7937. I want to get to the Landon Roberts situation. I want to get to that next as well. And what happened to the Patriots linebacker when he was stopped in his own driveway. Very polarizing. We'll get to that.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
All right, back on WEEI, the Mark James Experience, 617-779-7937. I'm going to get to your phone calls and see you guys want to talk defending baseball, Mookie Betts and all that stuff. But the Landon Roberts video that came out about him getting pulled over for going 59 in a 35 in his neighborhood back in March is already created a lot of buzz in many headlines. So, Nick, let's go to clip number one. The police. So, Roberts, let me just set this scene for you. He's pulling into his driveway, and the lights go on as he's pulling into his driveway. So I thought it was a chase, but it wasn't. He pulls into his driveway, and Then the lights come on, so he just gets out of the car to see what's going on, and here's what happened.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car. Get in the car right now. Shut the door. Shut the door. Put the hands on the steering wheel and roll down the window. Do it now.
All right, so there was a little back and forth there. Then, you know, his wife, Tori Roberts, she sees this is going on in front of her house, so she comes outside, and the officer starts to yell at Tori Roberts. Clip number two.
Go back in the house. Go back in the house. Ma'am, if you don't go back in the house, you're going to be arrested. Go back in the house for your safety. Do it now.
All right. Now, this is where things start to get a little uncomfortable. So the officer, his name is Deputy Watkins. Adam Watkins is his name. He starts to talk to the colleague and describes what Alandon Roberts gives. Just give him a subscription. Clip number three.
I haven't even begun the traffic stop. He got the big black male. He got out of the car. I told him to get back in. He wouldn't comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard for comply. She came out of the house. She will not go back in the house. She's refusing commands. He was refusing commands. Now he's complying. I don't want to conduct it.
So there's that. So he described Roberts a, quote, I haven't even begun the traffic stop. The big black man who was driving got out of the car. I told him to get back in. He would not comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard to comply, end quote. Now, here's the part. At first, I had a problem with how he described the big black man, but he's, I guess, talking to a colleague and just setting the scene. So that one doesn't bother me as much as the part where the deputy lies and says, he said, quote, he would not comply. I had to yell at him pretty hard to comply. First of all, when you yell at someone, there's no yelling at someone softly or yell at someone hardly. You yell. There's no gray areas. It's either you yell at someone or you don't.
Back in the car. Get back in the car.
And saying he wouldn't comply. Now, here's Roberts arguing with the police officer.
Okay, go ahead, get it.
Like, why are they going by my house? Like, I'm not understanding
this. I need you to have a conversation with me. I appreciate that you're
helping. Why are they going by my house? Sir, I'm just acting.
We'll have that conversation in a moment. Right now, I need to see your insurance.
I don't know where is it.
Okay, how about this? If this were a Texas plate, I could check it electronically as a backup, but because it's a message.
Okay, if you give me time, look at my hand. If you give me time, and I know for a fact, look at my hand.
Everything. You're cool. You're being cool. It's fine.
If you look at my hand, sir, like all I'm saying is, in the house, in my black backpack, I know I have proof of insurance.
Okay.
I'm just getting back.
All right.
From
what I'm going to do,
my mom and dad.
You're
going
to get two citations. One for speeding, another for failure to provide proof of insurance. That will be dismissed upon providing the proof at that time. You'll handle it through the court.
Where was I going?
Sit tight. Keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Can we talk? All I'm saying, I know you
this
saying,
is not the time.
How can you tell
sir,
me out?
This is not the time.
Okay. I'm right. I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay. Sit tight.
So all that's going on, and here in the end, which was weird, that Alandon Roberts went 24 miles over speed limit. He didn't have proof of insurance. Then a search of court records showed that the citation was never entered into the system. And someone from the sheriff's office said, quote, about Alandon Roberts, he has not received any charges from the sheriff's department regarding the incident. The citation was never processed by the sheriff's department and sent for filing with the court. We believe that once the dash cam footage, this is actually Roberts' attorney speaking now. We believe that once the dash cam footage was seen by Deputy Watkins supervisors and realizing who Alandon is, a decision was made to halt everything. Alandon started receiving phone calls from the sheriff's office a few hours after the stop, apologizing and telling him that the ticket was being dismissed. So number one, the cop didn't handle the stop the way he should have. And Roberts, aside from speeding, I felt as though, at first I'm like, you don't ever get out of your car when you're stopped by a policeman. But he was pulling over his driveway, then the lights came on, and so he was just naturally getting off his driveway. So this wasn't your prototypical traffic stop off a highway or an exit. It was in his driveway at his house. Now Roberts has filed a harassment inquiry, which it's not for any type of financial gain. He's doing this just so, you know, because there's obviously a huge problem between law enforcement, and we've seen where they have unfairly treated African-Americans at traffic stops over the course of the last, well, as long as I can remember, but specifically now, have we seen over the course of the last 5 years in particular. Okay, so this has now become a situation. So my question to you is this. Who's in the wrong here? Why is Roberts filing a harassment inquiry now, 4 months after the fact of this incident, which took place back in March? 617-779-7937. And here's another thing, and I'm not defending the cops on this situation, because the cops, to not give him a ticket, they were basically admitting, like, they were trying to overcompensate because they Googled him and, he's a black professional athlete? Oh, you mean, he won a Super Bowl on the New England Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? We better cover up. How do you not give someone a ticket? So if I'm living in Fort Bend County, Texas, and thankfully I'm not, if I'm getting pulled over, I'm like, Landon Roberts can drive 24 miles over the speed limit. You don't give him a ticket. Are you going to give me a ticket now? So they should have at least cited him for speeding, especially when you're talking in a lot of states, you go over 20 near 25 miles over the speed limit. You can get arrested. It's like reckless endangerment or reckless driving, whatever semantics you want to use. That's what it is. So, to me, Alandon Roberts messed up twofold. He drove 24 miles over the speed limit in a residential neighborhood. He didn't have proof of insurance. The cops messed up by, number one, saying he didn't comply, and then on top of it, calling him days later, apologizing, and then never citing him for going 24 miles over the speed limit. So this situation has gotten way out of hand. Way out of hand. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. And I know the lines are lighting up right now. A lot of people want to talk about this. Guys, Nick is doing a tremendous job today. He does not have time to play host and producer. So when you call in, what do you want to talk about? What's your name? Where you're from? Don't get into your dissertation of what you want to say on the air to Nick, okay? He's doing a bunch of people's job. Save it for the air, okay? That's how it works here. Don't go into some, you know, five-minute diatribe. Just save it for the air. Your name, where you're calling from, what do you want to talk about? That's it. That's how it rolls, okay? Tim in Attleboro, your thoughts on Landon Roberts. Go ahead, Tim.
How you doing, Mark?
Good.
I just wanted to say, I don't know how the laws are down in, I believe it was Texas that he lives.
Yes.
Okay. I had a similar thing happen myself, and I came out. I got down 4 inches of snow, complied. All my charges were dropped, by the way, but I won't get into it. But my neighbor is an African American.
What do you mean? What do you mean 4 inches of snow? What is that?
Well, I'm just saying it was January 2nd.
Oh.
They told me to lay down. I laid down for like 20 minutes with a knee in my back with my face in the snow, and I did everything. I complied. Ooh. I didn't move. I didn't do anything.
Why did he make you get out of the car?
Oh, no, I came out of my house. I'll just go into it quickly. Yeah. I had something with my wife. I came home. My son was 4 years old, wanted to play PlayStation. And she said, no, he's going to bed. And I said, no, he should stay up. And we got into an argument.
Oh.
So she left, and then she had, I didn't know, she had called the police. All of a sudden, the police drove down. I came out, and it was, I live on a, it was dark. I don't have much good lighting on the dead end street that I live on. And I heard a voice say, blank police, get down on the ground, which I did. I got down, I laid down on the ground, an officer came over and put a knee on my back, and I just laid there, answered all their questions. And then my neighbor had come out, African-American, and his driveway is up across from my driveway, and the police officer that was across the street said to him and his wife, go back in your house, go back in your house. And my neighbor said, no, I know my rights. I'm staying out here because he's a friend of mine. I want to make sure that whatever, you guys don't rough him up or whatever.
Right, right.
I have every right to be outside. So I don't know what the laws are in Texas. But I could see if a bunch of people come spilling out of a house, the officer doesn't know who they are. If say it was a bunch of guys and he wasn't married or whatever, so for his safety, he probably wants more everybody in the house. But
well, here was the thing, like what? Well, and Tim, I appreciate your anecdotal story there and what happened to you. And thankfully, you know, nothing did really bad happen and everything got resolved. But you wanting to let your son stay up to play Xbox or PlayStation doesn't warrant you having your face in the snow and the freezing cold in the beginning of January with a knee in your back, but that's a whole nother story. The one thing about this that bothers me, I have to tell you more than anything, like I knew he'd get off of the insurance not having proof of insurance. How do you just drop the ticket like that? What, because you found out that he just won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots? Like, that to me, that is the law, playing favorites. So if a Landon Roberts was a Landon Jones, okay, or Williams, and he wasn't a football player who just won a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, if he was just a regular African-American, I highly doubt this ticket would have been dropped. And therein lies the problem with the police department. Why did you drop the ticket? The guy's endangering lives, driving 24 miles over the speed limit, not on a highway, in a residential neighborhood. And you dropped the ticket? Why? That makes no sense to me. We'll continue to take your phone calls on this, 617-779-7937.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Get back in the car. Get back in the car. Get in the car right now. Shut the door. Put the hands on the steering wheel and roll down the window. Do it now.
So that's what happened. Landon Roberts, Super Bowl champion linebacker, New England Patriots, when he was stopped back in March. 617-779-7937 to get in the Mark James experience. We are really lit up here. So I'm going to get to all the phone calls coming up and right now. And I know a lot of you want to chime in. Feel free. You want to chime in on the baseball stuff as well. It's all good here on the Mark James experience. Let's go to, let's see here. Alan in Brockton. Go ahead, Alan.
How you doing? Appreciate it.
Yep.
I hear you. You're mentioning that, you know, maybe they dropped a ticket because, you know, he was a Patriots player, et cetera, and giving him sort of preferential treatment. They could have dropped the ticket because maybe he wasn't speeding.
Going 24 miles an hour over the speed limit.
They got to prove that, though. Did he say he was or?
No, they apparently clocked him. They're going 59 and a 35.
You got to prove that in court, though.
Are you right? You're right. But why do you? Well, that's what I'm saying. It's supposed to go to court. Like when you or me, Alan, get a speeding ticket, we got to go to court and fight it or have a lawyer do it. You know, it doesn't just get dismissed like that. That's what my whole point is.
Yeah, and I hear you. And then, you know, and I sort of agree with you. But what I'm saying is he's a Patriots player, so maybe he wasn't speeding. I hire an attorney. I go in and I not only get you on pulling me over for nonsense, but I take it a step further. So as opposed to doing that, let's just leave this guy alone, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe he wasn't speeding. Therefore, they said, you know, let's leave this leave it alone.
No, he was though. It, I mean, that's the one thing that's not disputed in this whole thing. He was speeding, going 59 in a 35. That they didn't like. Wasn't the whole like you know like people talk about driving while black. It wasn't that. He was literally speeding. It was like it wasn't the tinted windows. He was going 59 and 35 in a residential neighborhood.
Did he admit to speeding?
Well, I don't know if he admitted anything because it was dropped. So there's nothing to admit when when something is dropped. I mean, but 59 and a 35, that's no joke. It's not like going, 46 and a 35. This is 59 and a 35. That's a whole nother level there.
Yeah, I hear you. And I haven't listened to the, the whole thing. So I was under the impression that he said I wasn't speeding, et cetera, et cetera. And when you go to court, you got to prove that. And if you got the dash cam on, when did you put it on, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
There's a lot of things.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah, no, I think some of the things has been edited. I think that maybe this guy, Landon Roberts, was harassed because the thing that we got from USA Today didn't really show the officers in any type of harassment whatsoever. So that's the only difference in that. Dave's up next in Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Mark. Hey, I've been listening. You're 100% right. I did 27 years as a cop, 10 on the road, 15 as a detective. That cop there was textbook from the academy, what they teach you. As far as what I can hear, and again, I don't know about any edits or anything, but that's almost impossible to do, first of all. So people can speculate all they want, but anyway, that cop did everything textbook. He pulled him over. He did the biggest issue, and you were right 100%. They shouldn't have never, ever squashed the ticket at that level. If they want to squash it, send it to court. But your job is enforcement. He was speeding. And, you know, most people that are speeding aren't going to admit it, first of all, they're the prior caller. It goes to court. And if they want to squash it at court, go ahead. But that was textbook police work right there. The guy that pulled him over did nothing wrong. And as far as when he's talking to his colleague, as a police officer in a police car, if it was a white guy, he would have said the big white guy. If it was a black guy, he said the big black guy.
Yeah, issue
at all.
Right. There is no issue at all. So, and Dave, see, I'm glad that you given us a police perspective on this because I look, the biggest thing I had the issue was the fact that they just dismissed the ticket like it was nothing. And like one
that
time
is
I could.
That's the biggest issue, Mark. You're right. 100% right. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah. And like when I got a ticket one time, I was in Miami. It was a Miami-Dade County policeman. Like, I think it was speeding or something like that. And I'm like, listen, man. I'm like, you're going to kill my insurance here. I'm like, he goes, listen, he goes, he told me to do something. And he's like, listen, just, you know, when you see me in court that day, get there early, see me outside the courtroom and remind me of this ticket. I said, are you sure? He goes, yeah. So we get to court that day. This is a, you know, personal story that I had. Yeah. And they go, okay, speeding ticket Z1X9463. This defendant speeding on Old Cutler Road in Miami, and the officer said, "I don't have documentation on that." So it got dropped there, but I still had to go to court. I still had to go to Miami-Dade County Courthouse. He's like, "Sorry, Your Honor, I lost documentation on that, and I got to go, and that was it." So, but he couldn't just dismiss it because once you pull someone over and you write the ticket, you write the ticket. Do you think, Dave, that he wasn't charged because of his race, because he was an NFL football player, or because of both?
He wasn't charged. I will guarantee you this. He wasn't charged because he was a big Patriot football player. And they thought they were going to do him a favor by just squashing the ticket. And you don't squash the ticket at that level. It just makes it look like you did something wrong. And that's the biggest problem, is exactly what you've been saying since I've been listening. The supervisor or whoever looked at that case should have said he was speeding. He was going almost reckless driving, to be honest with you. That's really fast in a residential neighborhood. And he should have been given the ticket. And the police officer was 100% right when he told him that all you have to do is prove you have insurance, and that will get dismissed.
But the one thing, Dave, I guess the one thing in the state of Massachusetts, you don't need proof of insurance. So
yeah, in Texas, you probably do.
That's what I'm saying. You're in Texas.
Yeah.
So it's a different law for in Massachusetts, you don't. In Florida, you do.
In Connecticut, you do too.
Yeah.
You have to show proof. You
right.
There's different laws. It's really, it's a speeding ticket. It's a speeding case. For it to get to this level, and like I said, all those, the cop, he was textbook and everything he did. When somebody comes out of the house, you have to get them back into the house because it becomes a dangerous situation. When they get out of your car, you're always taught to put them back in the car, and then you deal with them then because they can't be of harm to you at that point. So the cop did everything right as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what the issue with him is. And like I said with that comment, if it was a big white guy, he would have said a big white guy got out. I mean, it's not anything racial that I can see. I don't understand why this guy is 4 months later making an issue out of it.
Right.
It's kind of silly to me.
It's become now an issue. Dave, appreciate it. Police perspective on that. Your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. We'll continue on Elandon Roberts. Obviously, the baseball thing on what you think on how to market the game better. I know there's some callers on there want to defend it. That's fine. Red Sox playing the Dodgers tonight. Series finale at Fenway Park. Pregame here at 6:15. Final hour of the Mark James Experience coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.